So related to this subject, I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 6. We'll return to our series, Lord willing, on 1 Peter in 2 weeks. As we have considered, as we have announced, the excommunication of one who was formerly a brother, it would do us good to consider our own faith and obedience before the Lord and where we stand with Him. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. This is the word of our Lord. May he add his blessings to the reading of it. As Jesus comes to the end of a sermon in which he had said some very difficult things, and it's likely that this is not the only time that Jesus said this. It's likely that the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain that we find, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew and the Sermon on the Plain in Luke, may be two different occasions, and as good teachers do, he would repeat himself so that people would get what he was saying. But as he finishes this difficult sermon, he has some difficult things to the people, to his audience, he drives home at the end the necessity of obeying what he has taught. He asks pointedly here in Luke chapter 6 and also in Matthew chapter 7, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? And then he concludes with his familiar illustration of two men building separate houses. The first lays a foundation on the rock so that his house stands firm when the flood bursts against it. The second foolishly builds his house without the proper foundation so that it is destroyed by the flood. In the illustration, the foundation here is obedience to Christ's teaching. The man who did not build on the foundation of what he heard from Jesus had his house destroyed. He agreed with it superficially. He called Jesus Lord, but he did not obey Jesus' teaching, resulting in the tragic loss of his house. So Jesus is showing us that obedience to Christ is not optional, because it is the very foundation of the Christian life. Now, some might say, now, wait a minute, I thought that faith, not obedience, is the foundation of the Christian life. After all, we are told that we're saved by grace through faith, as Paul tells us in Ephesians, and the one who believes in Jesus has eternal life, as John 3:16 tells us. So how can you say that obedience is foundational? Well, both go hand in hand, and you cannot separate them in real life. Faith and obedience go hand in hand, and we can do some theological exercises and define what faith is, and then define what obedience is, but in everyday life, they are so mixed together that we can't really divide them. Yes, we can divide them theologically, but in practice, they go hand in hand, to the point that even our confession in chapter 14, titled Of Saving Faith, says this: by this faith, this saving faith, a Christian believes to be true whatsoever is revealed in the Word, for the authority of God himself speaking therein. And this is another result of saving faith. And acts differently upon that which each particular passage thereof contains, yielding obedience to the commands, trembling at the threatenings, and embracing the promises of God for this life and that which is to come. Saving faith is always accompanied by obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, obedience is not optional because it is the ultimate test of truly professing Christ. Look what he says in verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? If we call Jesus our Lord, we prove it by doing what he tells us to do in his word. Notice that Jesus unequivocally asserts the rightful position as Lord. His interaction with the people is not, don't call me Lord, only God is Lord. He assumes that he has the rightful authority as Lord and wants people to follow that. His lordship governs all of life down to our very thoughts. So obedience to Jesus as Lord is not just an option for some who want to be more committed. Now, there was a big lordship debate back in the late 70s, early 90s, where a segment of the church was saying that you can believe in the Lord Jesus, have him as your Savior, and then later on in life, when you're nice and done, then you can take him as your Lord. But the scriptures command us to believe not just in the Savior Jesus Christ, but to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a package that all comes together. It is part and parcel of the Christian life. Those who do not submit to the lordship of Jesus have good cause to question whether they are truly Christians. Now, obedience is not perfection. Obedience is faithfulness. Obedience is living a life of repentance. Obedience is not letting known sins continue. Is repenting from them. Is forsaking sins with a hatred for it and turning to Christ. Obedience is being faithful to what the scriptures say. And implicit in Jesus' words is the fact that there is the real danger of a false profession of faith in Christ. In Matthew, a parallel passage to Luke 6, Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And then he goes on to cite examples of those who even have done impressive things in his name, but who will be rejected at the gate of heaven because they also practiced lawlessness. So in Matthew 7, verse 22, Jesus says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" Outwardly, these people would have seemed to others to be righteous, but God knows the hearts. God knew their selfish motives, their lustful thoughts, and their greedy desires that came out of an unchanged heart. So even though they had prophesied, performed miracles, and cast out demons in Jesus' name, they were turned away from heaven. So in verse 23 of Matthew 7, Jesus says, "And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." They had healed the sick. They had prophesied in the assumption they had prophesied true prophecies. They had preached the true gospel of Jesus Christ. People may have been saved, truly saved, under their ministry, and yet Jesus calls them workers of lawlessness. Why? Because their hearts had not been changed. They did not believe in Jesus Christ. They are coming before Christ by saying, "Lord, look at all the things I've done. Look at all the good things I've done. That's why you need to accept me." And Jesus says, "No. Only if you forsake all the good things you've done will I accept you. Otherwise, you're a worker of lawlessness. So let me ask you here today, why are you here? Why are you following Christ? Why are you calling him Lord? Brothers and sisters, outward obedience is not enough. God demands that we judge our evil thoughts, our attitudes, bringing every thought into submission to Jesus Christ. If we name Jesus as Lord, we must enthrone him as Lord of our lives, even down to the thought level. So, brother, sister, where is your heart today? Is your heart securely in the hand of Jesus Christ, or you have a heart that's filled with pride and thinking that God is going to accept you because you are the greatest thing since sliced bread? Do you think that God is going to accept you because Christ is standing before you, before him, pleading for you? Or is Christ just a nice thing that you've added to the side of your life so that things can get better? Is your obedience real? Real obedience is not optional, brothers and sisters, because it is a foundation that will withstand the test of time and eternity. In verse 47, our Savior says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was found on the rock." So this first builder represents those who hears the word of God, but not only hears them, goes out, they go out and actually do them, put them in practice at the heart level, the thought level, in life in general. This man goes through the trouble of digging deep into the soil until he hits bedrock, and that's where he starts building his house. He anchors his house, his foundation, on the bedrock so that his house rests on the solid foundation. When the storms hit, the foundation stands because the house was well built. And as you can see, the house represents our lives. We are all building houses, as it were. The question is, are we building our lives on the sure foundation of obedience to Jesus Christ that finds its source in our faith in Jesus Christ, or are we building it on the sand of an empty profession of faith? What are we doing, brothers and sisters? When you build a house, you can be sure, no matter where you build it, that storms will come and test your house. That's going to happen. The geography and climate of Palestine was such that it was prone to flash floods. It was arid, like other places, maybe somewhere in Arizona, where there will be dry riverbeds, and all of a sudden a storm in the mountain and water will come rushing down with great power and take everything that was in sight. If you're building your home near such a stream bed, and what Jesus is saying, that's what we're doing in this world, that's where we're building our homes, you better make sure that it has a solid foundation. And as you know, the floods here that comes and hits on the house refers to the trials of this life as well as to the flood of the future judgment when we all must stand before God. And the person who has built his life on faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that shows itself in obedience, has a solid foundation that will carry him through both the floods of this life and future judgment. But the person and the person who professes to know Christ, but who is not walking in obedience, will be wiped away when trials hit this life. Which one are you? There are only two final results. The one house stands while the other falls. In this parable, these are the only two possibilities. There's no middle possibility of sustaining just a bit of damage. And brothers and sisters, this also points to the fact there's only two final destinations. Heaven or hell. Nothing in between. Those who truly believe in Jesus Christ, as shown by their obedience to him, will be in heaven. those who profess to believe in Jesus but deny him by their disobedient life will go to hell. The Apostle Paul says in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. And the difference between the two lives is repentance. What is it that you do with your sin? Repentance is not something that we do somewhere in the past where we first came to believe in Jesus. Repentance is how we live every second of our lives. That's really the main difference between the two lives. You know, as you read the parable, before the flood, both houses would look the same to the casual observer. But there was a vast difference between them after the flood. The one stood firm, the other was in shambles. The difference was hidden, the hidden part of the house, right? Unless you're a foundation specialist, unless that's, no, you're a concrete pour kind of guy, you don't go around looking at the house's foundations. Like, wow, man, look at that foundation. That concrete looks so beautiful. Oh, man, look at the corners and look at how everything's fitting together in the foundation. Usually you can't see the foundation. So here the difference is not what you can see, but is the hidden part. You know, foundations are not very glamorous, but they are absolutely essential if you want a building to stand over the long haul. And brothers and sisters, a foundation of faith that obeys enables a Christian to stand firm when trials hit. And what are some of those inevitable floods that test our faith? Take a second and think, what are these? What are things that hit us in life? Well, there are the trials that we all face, disappointments, setbacks, sickness, loss of loved ones, loss of a job, being let down. There are certain floods that go along with growing older, the loss of health and strength, being confined by the limitations of our bodies, the impression that there is no more purpose in life, loneliness. These are trials that hit us as we get older. And of course, there is the steady, relentless approach of our own death. How's that for an encouragement? Every day we live is a day closer to death. All these trials test whether we are true disciples of Jesus Christ or just fair-weather followers who are not sincere in our faith. There are also the floods of temptation that comes at us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And brothers and sisters, if you are not building on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not building on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as demonstrated by obedience, these trials are going to hit you. And that's going to be the end of your faith. There'll be nothing left. Brothers and sisters, obedience is not optional, because those who do not obey Christ face sudden and final destruction. That's what he says in verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house and on the earth without a foundation, against which the streams beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, as you consider the man who built his house without a foundation, you have to ask, why would he do such a dumb thing? Is that fair? We're very good at judging what other people do. Why would they do that? That's so obvious that a house needs a foundation. Rebecca and the girls just came back from camping. Were you like in tent camping or in the... Okay, right? You don't have a foundation in a tent. At least not in the tents that we use. Maybe some of you glampers have foundations in your tents there. But if you don't anchor the tent down and there's a storm, guess what? Your tent is going to be history there as well. And you get to the campsite, and how often is it so tempting to not put your tent pegs down? It's so hard, right? You forget your mallet, so you have to put your hand, and it hurts your hand to push the thing down, so you just don't do it. So I think we can understand why this guy didn't do it. It involved a lot of time and hard work to dig by hand or with a shovel down to the bedrock, and the foolish man was a lazy one. It was much easier to throw up the house without the hassle of putting in a proper foundation. So he followed the path of least resistance. That is often our temptation, to just do what is easy. And yet we're called by God to do hard things. Faith is hard. Do you get that? Faith is hard because it is a complete trust in someone else. It's a complete abandonment of yourself and trust in someone else. And we don't like that. You know, we at heart love the poem Invictus. We in heart love to be the captain of our own ships and the master of our own souls. So faith is hard because it's a complete abandonment of ourselves in trusting in another. And disobedience is usually much easier at first than obedience, but always leads to destruction. Proverbs 13:15. The way of the transgressor is hard. That, take that to the bank. The way of the transgressor is hard. What seemed easy at first always leads to destruction. Another reason why the guy didn't bother to dig a proper foundation is that he wanted the immediate benefits of the house without the necessary labor to get there. He had a roof over his head and all his furniture nicely arranged while his neighbor is still digging. And he's thinking, that's the foolish guy. Spiritually, a lot of people come to Jesus for the benefits he offers. Seemingly, they are instantly enjoying the blessings of salvation, even though they have never repented of sin and they are not daily judging their sins by his word. They enjoy the good feelings of singing and swaying with the music. They like the love and fellowship of the body, but in their hearts, they are not digging the foundation of obedience to the word of God. The flood will hit, and their spiritual house will come crashing down. So what can we do to make sure that our house is built on the rock of faith in Christ that produces obedience? I think Christ in verse 47 actually tells us. He mentions three things. Come to him, hear his words, and act on them. This is it. Come to him, hear his words, and act on them. First, you must come to Jesus. And this implies a personal, one-to-one relationship between Jesus and you. Not somebody else. You and Jesus. Your sins have separated you from God, but Jesus Christ shed his blood to reconcile to himself every sinner who will stop trusting himself and his own good word deeds and who will just trust in Jesus, and that's it. So come to him. Come to him. Second, you must hear Jesus' words. And this implies growing in your knowledge and understanding of his teaching as revealed in the Bible. Now, the teaching of the Bible centers on two main subjects. How to love God and how to love others. The Lord Jesus Christ said that you can hang everything else on those two titles. Our confession, our catechism says that the whole Bible can be summarized in what is it that we're to believe concerning God? And what he requires of us. You can hang everything on those two categories as well. Now, as you read and study your Bible, your aim should not to simply fill your head with knowledge, although proper knowledge is essential. The bottom line for biblical knowledge is that you will please God by loving him and loving others as he commands. So, hear him. And thirdly, Jesus says that you must act upon what you hear. This implies soul-searching obedience down to our very thoughts, motives, and attitudes. It means continually examining ourselves in light of the scriptures. So come. Jesus invites you to come. Hear him. Jesus speaks through his word. Do, obey, act upon the things that you've heard from Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the forecast is that there will be 100% chance of floods in your life. That's the forecast. In light of that forecast, now it is the time to check your foundation. If you're living in daily faith-filled obedience to Jesus on the heart level, your house will stand. But if you call him Lord, but you're living for yourself, you better start digging to establish a foundation that's in Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Father, we pray that our faith, all of us, would be in Christ Jesus. And Father, help us to examine our hearts where we have failed, that we might repent and receive your gracious forgiveness. Father, we pray that we would indeed hear what you're saying and act upon it. And for those in our midst who have not come to you, we pray that you draw them to you. Draw them to Christ, because we know that Christ will not refuse anyone who comes to him. Unite us to him, unite us to each other, for asking in Jesus' name, amen.